Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Hello, my name is Keith Teedy. I'm the host of New Media Central Podcast. And this week I'm talking about Doge. I love that. It's, Elon's been a Doge coin fan for a long time, and he's talking about it a lot. It turns out that the acronym for his department in President Trump's world is Department of Government Efficiency, D-O-G-E. I'm sure they looked into it, but figured it out the way only Elon can do. The department is called Doge, Department of Government Efficiency, D-O-G-E. It's awesome. I'm talking about that this week, and I relay a personal story of way back in the day when I first started working, or near the first of my real jobs. I worked for the city of Kansas City, Missouri, and I witnessed firsthand exactly what's going on in government, and that's city government and county government, state government, and federal government are all worse progressively as you go up. I relate that story, and it has to do exactly with what Elon is up against right now. He goes into these departments, and he sees one guy doing the job of 20 guys and 19 guys standing around doing nothing, and that's how we're going to get this efficiency. We're going to get rid of all of that. And I go into a lot more about it in my own personal story about what I saw firsthand. Here we go. So this week I'm talking about Doge, the department that President Trump and Elon Musk put together to try to get rid of government waste, of which there is tons of, and they're doing really good. I think the last check that I saw was $55 billion. That's a lot of money. I don't care who you are. That's a lot of money. In the big scheme of things, as far as our total budget for this country, it's not huge, but it's a huge step in the right direction after only 3 weeks. A lot more to come. I want to start this one with a little story about myself. I worked for the city of Kansas City, Missouri. This was way back in the 70s and 80s. But the reason I'm talking about it is because I saw firsthand, I was standing right there looking at it, inefficiency in government. The way I understand it, city government is bad as far as waste. County government is even worse. State is even worse. And then, of course, federal is by far the worst as far as waste. So we got a lot of cutting to do. I want to relay this little story. I worked in a department in city engineering that we did maps. We're mappers. What happened, the way we did it was whenever we do anything with a sewer or a sidewalk or a driveway or a road, driveway approach, or anything like that has to do with engineering, of course, we didn't design the plans in-house in the city. We'd have where the people actually who were doing the work had the engineering firms design the project, and then we'd approve it to make sure it was all according to Hoyle, according to city standards. There were, in this little teeny department in City Hall there where I worked on the 18th floor, it was awesome. Matter of fact, at one point I had a corner office. Try to figure that one out. It was awesome. You had a beautiful view of the city from there. I digress. There were 12 people in the department. Four people of 12 did everything, literally everything. Whenever a project came in for approval, they would company that was going to do the work would have the engineering firm figure out how to do it and put it down on blueprints. We'd approve those, then they'd go do the work, putting in a sewer or whatever, and our job was to keep the maps up to date. This was way before computer mapping. We did it all by hand, and it was awesome. I loved it. It's one of my favorite jobs I ever had. They would do the work, and then we'd send out our people to check to make sure the job was done right. A lot of checking going on there, but you got to do that in government to make sure it's all done right. But then we'd get it back. So we had people who would check to make sure that it was all according to city code. Then we had people go out and check to make sure that the people putting it in put it in according to the plans, so ensuring that it was to code. And then we get the plans back and they go done, approved, everything's done, and we updated the maps to reflect what they had done. whether it's a road extension or a sewer extension or a driveway approach or whatever, we'd have the plans back that said it was done, and we could proceed with updating our maps. So there were the two engineers who approved the plans before they went out and then approved them again when they came back to make sure everything was done. Then we had our draftsman who actually drew on the physical maps the improvements that were made. So that's where most of those 12 were the draftsmen who were supposed to be doing the updates on the maps, on the physical maps. There were three engineers, actually four. The big boss was an engineer, but he was never there. He was always out lunching or meeting or something like big bosses do. And so of the three engineers, two did all the work as far as the engineering end of it, where they had to figure out if everything was okay according to engineering standards and city code. When it came back, then the draftsman would get that information and actually draw it on the maps. So we had, let's see, the eight draftsmen, well, six draftsmen, we'll call it, because two of those, one of them was the position I was in. I didn't actually do very much drawing. I did it before I got the advance, but there were basically six draftsmen who were supposed to be doing these updates. Okay, so we had different kinds of maps, and we would get that information. We had to update the maps, and what would happen was an improvement job that was completed and ready to be put on the maps. We'd go grab the physical map either out of our department or on another floor, depending on what kind of map we were working on. These maps, by the way, were either vellum, which is a kind of a plastic that has tooth on it so you can actually draw on it, and there were also fabric maps. I gotta tell you, that was some kind of, it was like a canvas that an artist used, and we drew on these maps, and they had holes in them where they could be put in the book with like giant books, because these maps were big, with like three ring binder holes in them, but they were put in this map. The six people who were in charge of doing the updates would get the map that needed to be updated. They'd get the plans that were approved and everything was to code, and then they'd proceed to put that information on the map. And then there was a guy there, Gordon, not his real name, but he was the main draftsman guy, and he would check everybody's work. Well, of those six people who were actually doing the maps, not including myself and the engineers and the big dog, they would take, and all the projects were different sizes, so they would take a map that they got, the plans that were approved, and proceed to put that information on the map. So of the six, two of them did almost all of it. And I'm going to tell you about this guy. He was a friend of mine, and I really like him still to this day. I don't communicate with him much anymore. It's one of those where we were friends a long time ago kind of thing, and we drifted apart. But his name was, we'll call him Kevin, not his real name. Or he would be assigned an update, and he would go get the map, and he would sit on his desk and put the map down. Of course, we taped them down to our desk. We had these big drafting desks, and we would tape them down with all of our instruments so that we could do the drawing. And he would get it all taped down and look real good. And then, literally for months, that thing would sit on his desk. One project that would take the two in the department that actually did them. The one I'm specifically thinking of right now that he really did spend months on, one of the two guys that do all the work in that department, could have done it in a day or less, maybe 4 hours, maybe half a day. He had that 40-acre map on his desk for months, and he would go talk to the big dog draftsman I was telling you about that did all the approvals, and he'd go, how do I do this? Well, this is something you're supposed to know before you get the job, but he would go ask questions. How do I do this? How do I do that? Yeah, okay. And he'd go over there, and he'd act like he was really going to work, and he'd, bend over and assholes and elbows, we called it. And he'd be working away, and the draftsman boss would go over and say, Kevin, not his real name, no, that's not quite right there. Oh, man. And he'd get out the eraser. We had electric erasers. They were awesome. And he'd go erasing, and it's hard to erase on that stuff because they're fragile. And if you race a little bit, it doesn't hurt nothing. If you race a lot, it messes up the whole map. Well, he erased like just somewhere around like 10% of it. He had drawn all over it, and he did it all wrong. So he erases it, and it took him a couple of days just to get it erased. And he starts over, and he asks a whole bunch more questions, and he thinks he's got it all correct. And he goes to town again. And this time, Gordon is standing over him a little bit, and he goes, "You can't stand there. It makes me nervous." Gordon backs off, and he goes to town again. It's like a week later. He takes it over to Gordon's desk. He goes, "So now this is how I'm supposed to be doing this, right?" Gordon looks at it, and he's shaking his head. And he goes, "No, this is not correct." So here's Kevin again. Got his electric eraser out, messing up the map. He literally did one, and it's not this project I'm talking about. It was a different one. He messed it up so many times and erased it so many times, we had to redraw the 40-acre map. We had to redraw the whole thing because he messed it up so many times that it ruined the map. And we had to redraw it, which is a big project, starting from scratch and doing a whole one. That's the mentality there. And this is the city, not the county, not the state, not the feds. This is the city, the one who has the least problem with that kind of situation. So eventually he got that one little project done that should have taken that day at the most done, and it was months later. And I'm not exaggerating, I'm not kidding. This is how it went. This is how, this was normal. This was okay by everybody that worked there. It was just known that a very small percentage of the people working there actually did the work. The rest of them, it was just a party or a social place to be. They'd go, and one of the things they did religiously was complain about how abused they were and how hard they worked and how they didn't get paid for what they did. And reality is, they didn't do much, if anything at all. Kevin, as much as I liked the guy and as fun as he was to be with when we weren't in the office, actually, even when we were in the office, he was just a fun guy to be around, but he couldn't do anything for the city for pay. He couldn't do it. But here he was, and we made pretty good money. People often think of, oh, the government doesn't pay very well. Yeah, for what you do, it pays really well, but in the city engineer's office, we got a little more money than the average Joe on the street. So here's this guy. He couldn't make it as a busboy in a restaurant. And I hate saying that, and it will never get back to him. He will never know about this. He would understand even if he did. But he was a fun guy to be around, but he couldn't do work. But it was all okay by everybody who worked there. Everybody understood this. These two guys here do all the work. All the rest of them are just... And I thought about it one time. I thought, well, maybe this is how the city keeps unemployment down. They hire all these people that could not get jobs anywhere else to work for the city, and then they're actually employed. So it lowers the unemployment rate. Anyway, I don't know if that's true. I think it partly is, but there's a lot of other things involved. But what I'm getting to on this whole thing, the reason I'm telling this story, it's long, that's the city. Now multiply that times 10 and you got the county. So instead of two people doing all the work for a department that has 10 people in it, there's four people doing all the work with 40 people in it. So 36 people are doing nothing in the county. Then you get to state, it's even worse, and federal even worse. So the whole thing about this story that I'm telling you is there is massive, massive, massive waste that you can't even begin to understand if you have never worked for a government entity. If you work in private and you're not doing your job, you get fired. If you work in the private sector and you're doing your job but you're not doing it very good, you get a talking to. And if that doesn't get fixed, you get fired. Public employment for the government, none of that matters. Doesn't have anything to do with whether you're keeping your job or not. And that has been going on literally for decades. Like I said, it was the 70s and 80s when I was doing it. So that's what, 40, 45, 50 years ago. It's gotten a lot worse since. And that's what they're dealing with, a Doge. And that's why Elon Musk is pulling his hair out going, this can't be happening, but he's catching it. He's finding all this stuff. He's seeing what I saw when I worked there but he's able to do something about it where I wasn't. Honestly, it bothered me, but I understood that's how it was. You don't rock the boat. To me, after going through that and seeing how that worked, I got out of it. Actually, I went to work for the water department eventually and had a really good job at the water department. I was a big dog. The person in charge of that department was very happy to get me, and she was so not understanding when I left because it was a great job. I could have had it the rest of my life and everything would have been cool. But I left. I went to the private sector because I got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. And the water department was even worse than city engineering. There were more people doing nothing in that department. It was a bigger department. It was crazy. I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't stand to come in and be one of the five people in the whole department that did everything while 25 or 30 people sat around and did nothing except complain about how hard they were working and how abused they were and how they didn't get paid for their jobs. I couldn't take it. So I went to the private sector and never looked back. Anyway, that's what Elon Musk is faced with right now. He's going in and he's going, well, these people aren't doing anything. And he's got an eye for that kind of thing. That's why he's so successful. That's why his companies are so successful. Because he doesn't put up with that stuff for 1/1,000,000th of a second. First of all, they don't get hired if they don't know what they're doing and they're very good at it. But if they did get hired and they weren't pulling their weight, bye. Don't even look back. Don't even think about it. Bye. And that's what he's doing in the government now. And I'm sure if things don't change, he's going to go through and get the feds right, and then he'll go through and get the states right, and then go through and get the county right, and then he'll go through and get the cities right, and down to the small cities and all that stuff. Eventually, it'll all be taken care of. Well, it'll be a bunch of unemployed people because the unemployment rate is taking that into account where they have a bunch of people that aren't working and they're considered employed, so the unemployment rate is falsely lower than it really is. So that's going to have an effect on that. But I just want to talk about that because President Trump also noticed how a lot of people weren't doing anything in the government, and he wanted it out of there because he wants to get rid of the deficit. He wants to get rid of the debt in this country. And the way to do that is raise taxes or do the same job for less money. Well, he didn't want to raise taxes, thank goodness. So he's going to eliminate all that crap. It's going out the door. Yeah. So anyway, DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, like I said, last time I checked a few days ago, it was $55 billion. And that's just after a few weeks. Think about what it's going to be like after 4 years. Yeah. And there's going to be a lot of up and down. And, you know, everybody goes, well, they fired too many people. And they can't run the program. Yeah. Well, they probably can, and they may hire back some of these people. They're not going to get it exactly right on the very first try. The way to do it is cut way back, and when you go, oh, we really need that person, then you put somebody in that spot. But you can't tell unless you take them out in the first place. So anyway, I'm going really long here, and I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, talking about what DOGE does and how fabulously lucky we are to have that, because we're going to get rid of all that stuff that we've been paying for, you and me, with our tax dollars that they take from us at gunpoint. Also, the thing that really got me was the getting rid of a lot of the IRS. Yeah. What was it, 8,700 new IRS employees that Biden put in? They're gone. So, yeah, we don't need that many people in the IRS. Matter of fact, this is a different podcast, but I'm for getting rid of the IRS 100% gone and just go to a flat tax and a consumption tax. That's a long story. I'm not going to talk about it right now, but IRS is gone. We don't need them. We can save a ton of money without them.